I'm Shawty Champagne. Welcome to my show. I'm Shawty Champagne. Where we dream and lift each other up. I'm Shawty Champagne. Love is the answer. Grace is the way.
Shawty Champagne.
We're anchored in hope.
The Shawty Champagne Show.
And we keep the faith. Entertainment, education, inspiration.
Sade Champagne, Sade Champagne. Welcome to the Sade Champagne Show.
I'm Sade Champagne.
Welcome to a brand new episode of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio and 57WLLE.net, the beat of the city in Raleigh, North Carolina. My theme song was produced by Alberto Morello Hernandez, recorded and mixed by The Quakes, and written by me, and of course, sung by me. Today's special guest is one of my dearest friends, inspirations, and like a sister to me. Angelina Lina Rodriguez is known for her wit and personality. She began her career in radio while attending college in 2009. Although she is trained in performance arts, she has used her voice as the focus of her diverse talents. For over a decade, Lina has been on-air talent at several radio stations between Fresno, California to San Diego. She moved back to Los Angeles in 2012, where she graduated from CSU Dominguez Hills with a bachelor's degree in business administration focused on sports, entertainment, and hospitality management. She has been a co-creator of several podcasts, including Urban Hollywood, Studio Vibes, and The Ladies Lounge. While hosting comes naturally, Lina is building a legacy by using her platform to empower women of color. The goal of creating media platforms is to reach multiple audiences that she can connect with and become a positive role model for younger generations. Please help me welcome Lina Rodriguez, but you know what? I have to give her a special introduction. Yes. Hey, sis. Lina, how you doing?
Hey, I'm here, girl. I'm good. I'm good. I mean, besides all the anxiety from last night, I'm feeling good. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm so glad to have you on here. And when I was reading that bio, I was like, yes, that's my girl.
Thank you so much for having me, first off. And, you know, it was actually weird to have to write a bio about myself because mm-hmm. I kind of forget sometimes, you know, my journey. And I think sometimes I sell myself short and I'm like, you know what? I've actually been out here working, but I think because I have this tunnel vision, I sometimes forget to kind of look back and not to look back and compare, but just kind of reflect on how far I've come. So thank you for allowing me to do that last night because it kind of, you know, put me in it gave me a good perspective of where I'm at right now. And I just feel grateful, you know, grateful for the journey and the experiences that I had.
Wow, that's powerful. That's so good. Sis is already coming through with the words of wisdom and encouragement. So, Lina, how has 2020 been for you so far, and how has your life changed during this pandemic?
Wow, my life has changed completely from what I thought, you know, life was. And so let's go back to, you know, January, we kick off the new year, you know, you're just ready for all the good things that life has to offer. And I know for myself, I like to sit down and write my goals, you know, for the year and the things that I want to achieve. Well, you know, come March, when the pandemic broke out, we, you know, saw this change that happened so quick that I think most of us felt like the rug kind of got mm-hmm. pulled from under us. And so for mm-hmm. me personally, I was on top of everything that I do in media. I did have a 9-to-5 working at a law firm. So I've been a legal assistant for the last 3 years. So, you know, here I am with my, you know, good salary paying job, and I'm, you know, working in downtown LA. I'm living in Long Beach with my daughter. My daughter had just started her, she was a freshman in high school. So, you know, kids in high school, this is the stepping stone to the rest of their life. So I'm excited for her. I'm excited for me. And then pandemic hits. I end up getting furloughed. You know, of course, the kids were sent to do distant learning. So for us, we really didn't have a choice but to move up north where my parents live in the Fresno area. So my parents live in Visalia, California. And so for the last, you know, 8 years, 9 years really of my life, I had been living down in Southern California. So moving up here, back home, you know, it was definitely a change. It was change of pace for sure, because I was so used to, you know, the chaos in LA that moving back home forced me to sit with myself. And I think that a lot of us have gone through that experience at some point in our lives. But this, to me, I needed it. I needed it for healing. I needed it for my spiritual growth. I needed to just really sit down and think about what's important to me. Like, what is really important to me about life? It's not about the salary job. It wasn't about the title that I had. It wasn't even the fact that I had worked so hard, you know, to be on my own as a single woman living in LA. To me, the fact that I have my health, my daughter's healthy, my parents are healthy, we were able to still, you know, pay the bills. We've still been able to have food. We've still been able to have shelter. And I have no complaints at this point, because this year has been so hard on everybody. On top of the pandemic, on top of the things that we are seeing in, I guess, when it comes to, you know, politics and the racial injustice, and so much has happened this year. But on top of that, people have lost loved ones. People have lost their jobs. People have lost their homes. Whatever it may be, we have to kind of sit back and take this moment to think about the blessings that we do have. So that's basically, you know, what I've been up to in the last, you know, what, 7 months, 8 months now, where I took the time to step away from that grind and really focus on myself. So, I mean, it's been a lot of changes for sure, but I'm grateful for every one of them. It's been a blessing in disguise.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. And so, Lena, what are some words of encouragement and wisdom that you would offer to other big dreamers, entrepreneurs, artists, et cetera, right now as they are trying to navigate their way through the pandemic?
Right now, we have time. And time, I've always said, time is priceless. Time is something that we are gifted, that I truly believe is a gift from God. So I saw this meme recently. I can't remember verbatim what it said, but it basically is saying, you know, when we procrastinate, we're basically telling God that we don't appreciate the opportunity that we have that he's giving us at that moment. So, yes, it's been hard to navigate through this emotionally and mentally and even physically for some of us. But to take this time that we're given to perfect our craft, you know, to really hone down on our skills. So I'll give you an example. For me, you know, I've been spoiled when it comes to, you know, doing radio and being a personality. I was used to just kind of showing up and, you know, doing what I do. I talk. That's just what I do. But I really didn't know how to edit. I didn't even know how to push the buttons on, you know, the computer. When I tell you I was spoiled, I was spoiled. But now I've had to learn how to edit, how to record, how to market my own stuff, you know, like really boss up.
Wow.
And I think that right now, that us as artists and creatives, we really need to take this moment to do exactly that, to boss up, to hone in on your skills, to do your research, to study, to, you know, maybe connect with others and co-create with others. So, yeah, so right now I think that that's my best advice, is to take this time to master your skills and to educate yourself.
I 100% agree. One of the things I love most about you, Lena, is that you are such a versatile and multi-dynamic business person, creative, and entrepreneur. Why do you think it's important for you to have your hands on multiple things instead of just focusing on one thing? Because I'm sure, like me, we're around the same age. We grew up where people were like, just focus on one thing. Are you a singer? Are you a dancer? Are you a speaker? Are you this? Make up your mind. But I love with you, you've paved your own way, and you're like, well, I can do comedy. I want to write. I want to act. I'm a radio personality. I'm a manager for artists. So why do you think it's important for you to have your hands on multiple things instead of just focusing on one thing, Lena?
You know, it's funny because in the bio, that's something that I did include, is that I have been trained in performing arts. So, yes, I sing, I dance, I act. I think for me, I just really felt like hosting was my natural gift. You know, I didn't even know that that was something that I knew how to do or that I could do. But the fact that the people that were my mentors, they pushed me towards that because they knew that that was something that I could excel in. But I have never forgotten about my other passions and the things that I feel, you know, I can still use my voice, but maybe use it to express myself, you know, differently. So let's say comedy, for instance. I think naturally, I can speak my mind. That's just who I am. And I like to provide some kind of comedic relief when it comes to certain topics, because I really do feel that when you come aggressively, people are automatically turned off. People automatically don't want to hear what you have to say because it's the energy behind it, you know. But if you come in a little softer and maybe with a smile on your face, they might be able to receive the message a little better just because you're actually coming with good energy, you know. So I personally feel like I love making people laugh. I mean, I laugh at my own jokes before I even tell them. Like, that's just how I am. But overall, you know, I think that as a person who's multi-talented, and my parents have been entrepreneurs as long as I can remember, and I'm actually in that same lane doing my own thing, it makes me feel proud of being a Mexican-American, because I take my work ethic that I've learned from my parents, but then I have this freedom of, you know, being an American and building this dream for myself that maybe I possibly wouldn't have if I would have been, you know, born somewhere else. But I know that it is a privilege for me to be in this country, and I know that I do everything in my power to serve this country, to share my culture with the people around me so that they can maybe better understand how I view things, because I think my view is a little different from maybe someone else, because to me, my life could have been totally different. You know, I always think about that. Anytime I go back to what I always call my motherland, anytime I've gone back to Mexico, I always think about, you know, how my life could have been different and how grateful I am for all the sacrifices that my parents did for us. And it all came down to, you know, them being entrepreneurs. They have worked so hard their entire lives, and that has always been an inspiration to me, which I hope that I can also inspire others.
So tell us about your newest podcast, The Ladies Lounge, how it came about, and how people can tune in to each episode.
Okay, so The Ladies Lounge is definitely, I would say, more adult entertainment. So my friend Carmen and I, we have been friends for like over 10 years. She's one of my first friends that I met when I started in radio. And, you know, she actually used to, one of her first shows was called The Ladies Lounge. And so I told her, hey, you know, we had been talking about doing a podcast together to talk about
relationships and our lives. And, you know, being an on-air personality, you kind of, you're used to interviewing other people. You're not really used to sharing your own story. So we decided, you know what, let's be as vulnerable as possible and let's be as open as possible on this podcast so that people can know us and, you know, who we are and the things that, you know, we've gone through in life. So we launched it back in February. Again, this is the beginning of the pandemic, so we had to wait a little bit to kind of figure things out, but we fully launched again, I think it was like in April. Yes, it was in April. And we finished our first season a couple of months ago. You can find us pretty much on any platform. We're on, let's see, iHeart, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube. And then you can always just follow us on Instagram. On our Instagram, it's Ladies Lounge. I believe it's the Ladies Lounge. And then my personal Instagram is she is Lena Rodriguez, and then Carmen's is at Carmen on Air. But yeah, that's basically what, you know, we had our vision of what this podcast would be. And surprisingly, more men than women actually listen to it, because we kind of spill the beans and we talk about the things that women, you know, deal with. And I think that most men are happy to receive that information, and probably more so from another woman than probably their own partner, because, you know, that can get a little heated at times. But I do feel that a lot of our male listeners, weird enough, they message us all the time and they tell us, like, oh, man, I had no idea women feel this way. I had no idea, you know, my wife would feel this way and not even share that with me. And so, yeah, I think we've been saving some relationships, but we might have caused some breakups too. But that's okay, because, you know, that's just a part of being an entertainer. Like, you go in there, you do your job, and, you know, you might cause some havoc, but it's okay. So it's all in the name of entertainment. But overall, it was just an idea, and, you know, because the pandemic kind of forced us to, like, you know, have the time to do it, we were like, hey, what better time to do it than now?
It's so funny. It was definitely a very entertaining show, and you ladies cracked me up. So you have some very interesting topics. And like she said, it's definitely for mature audiences only, adults only, but it's really good, juicy show and entertaining. I think a lot of people would enjoy.
Thank you.
So, Lena, let's talk about this current election cycle. You already got into it a little bit, and so I was like, let's just go and jump into it. What has it been like for you as a Mexican-American and Latina woman?
Well, I think that for me personally, I've always voted. Like, that's a privilege. Again, because I'm a first-generation Mexican-American, I am, like, super proud about going and voting. And so ever since I could, I have casted my vote, and even at the local level, like, I don't know why politics have always attracted me, but it is something that I feel very strongly about. So specifically in this election year, I feel like so much is at stake. And, you know, whether you have whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, it's at this point, I feel like it's beyond a political party. At this point, it's about us using our voice and our power to hold these politicians accountable. If these people, whoever ends up in office next, if they keep running the country how they see fit, it will never be a country where everyone feels someone who, again, is first generation. A lot of times, unfortunately, I have felt like an outsider. I have felt like, well, what is this country going to do for my community, for the Latino community? Because we do come, and no matter what origin Latinos come from, I know that from having conversations, from seeing it as a child and seeing it as I've grown up as an adult, how much we really do come to serve, to work hard, to contribute. And
you know, that's really in our hearts. That's in our genes. Like, that's who we are as a people. So when we have, you know, people in office who literally make Latinos look like we come to take, we come to steal jobs, we come to, you know, murder and steal, and like that's just not who I have been raised to be, nor the majority of the community that I know. As, you know, the Latino community, we're very big on unity. We're very big on helping each other. And, you know, that's, I guess for me, anybody who holds any position in office, any position in leadership, should remember that this is your job to lead people and not to do what you feel is the right thing to do at all times. And unfortunately, we've seen that over and over again. There's no accountability. Mm. There's no what I feel should be like an uprising, of not in a negative way, but in a way where the people, us, we come together, the Black communities, the Brown communities, we come together and we show up in numbers. It's not even about, you know, okay, we're just going to like cast our vote and call it a day. No, we still have so much work to do. I know everyone is tired. It's 2020 has been rough. I get it. But even after, you know, we protest, even if we riot, whatever it is, that kind of doesn't even matter at this point. We need to push for laws that need to be changed. We need to push for, again, politicians being held accountable. If you're at any other job, if you don't perform your job correctly, you get fired. It's literally that simple. Mm-hmm. So at this point, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. we have to say, if you're not going to do your job as a politician, as a leader of this country, then you got to go. You got to go. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, this is a chance for me to not only exercise my right, but to also vote on behalf of my daughter. My daughter was like, Mom, mm-hmm. don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. And, of course, you know, I wasn't going to, because that's, like, my pride and joy to be able to, like, go and vote. But I also have to remember, I have someone watching me, and I have to set that example. So, you know, for us to think that just casting a vote is enough, no. We need to educate ourselves. We need to understand mm-hmm. how politics work. We need to understand how the local level government, how that affects us the most. People don't understand that. You know, when we go to vote, we're not just going to vote for, you know, the presidential election. We're also voting at the local level. And for California, there were so many props that were passed, and I'm happy to see that a lot of them did pass. But, you know, a lot of people didn't even educate themselves prior to going to vote and didn't understand what those props were about. So, you know, for future reference, I just want the Black and Brown community to educate themselves first and foremost, and to understand that our numbers make such a huge impact, yet a lot of the politicians do nothing for us and our communities in return. So, you know, being aware of that in itself, that, yes, they want our votes. Absolutely, they want our votes. But what are they mm-hmm. doing for us to cast that vote for them? And that's what we say, we voted you in office, we need you to show up now, and we need to see what you're going to do for our communities. So, sorry Lena, for the that rant, but that's my Kanye rant right there. That's just my Kanye
that's okay.
rant.
That's okay.
Because.
That's okay. So that leads me to ask you this. Why do you think that so many Latinos and Latinx Americans are Republican and pro-President Trump supporters? I've noticed within your community that you don't seem to vote based on your culture, but more as Americans mm-hmm. first.
So I saw this funny skit not too long ago. It was like maybe a few minutes before I jumped on with you, and I was cracking up because he was saying that same thing, that a lot of Latinos, you know, as soon as they set foot on the land, they're like, oh, you know, we're gonna vote conservative. And I think for me personally, what I've seen is that a lot of them are actually religion-based. So they see, let's say specifically Trump, he's very big on, you know, Christianity. And so he pushes that to say, I'm doing this as, you know, a Christian. And so he bases a lot of his actions based on Christianity. So then people mm-hmm. who are religion-based, they follow that because they say, well, he's leaving this country as a Christian, which for me, it's totally opposite from what I believe. But I will say that as much as, and this is something I'm actually going to post on my social media. So as much as I've gotten heat for speaking up for the Black community, I do want to call out my Latino people because I feel that their lack of knowledge and their lack of wanting to understand the effect that the decisions that are being made on our behalf and how much it affects us, not understanding how it correlates is, I think, what frustrates me, because it's like, how do you support somebody who doesn't even acknowledge us, doesn't even acknowledge us as human beings? So a few days, I'm going to say like a week ago, I think it was like October 30th, this is when, as a Latino community, a lot of us celebrate Dia de los Muertos. So Dia de los Muertos is, you know, us celebrating our ancestors and the people that have passed. So on that same day, Trump decides to put out something that's basically saying it's a, I want to pull it up. It is a proclamation of National Day of Remembrance for Americans killed by illegal aliens. And this was on October 30th. So,
If
you see the correlation there, you see that he did this right as we're celebrating our Dia de los Muertos. And if you read through that proclamation, you will see the wording of it is so disgusting. It literally just made my stomach turn reading it. Because at no point, you know, has he acknowledged the fact that, okay, yes, I'm not going to ignore the fact that, yes, unfortunately, people have lost their lives, and unfortunately, it has been at the hands of illegal aliens. However, if we want to recognize that, let's recognize all the lives that were taken from Europeans when they came and took the land from the natives. So, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about how about we make a day for the people that have been killed by the cops. You know, it's so much that needs to be recognized. The fact that he specifically on that day decided, hey, let's go ahead and, you know, proclaim this as the day of remembrance of, you know, it's just disgusting to me. Not just the way that he handles his power. But the way he creates the hate behind it. So for me, it's about educating our older generations, because most of them are actually the older generations. I don't believe it's the younger generations. I believe the younger generations of Latinos, we know what's up. We see right through all of that. We understand the division that he's creating, because it goes back to, you know, divide and conquer. That's really like the mission. The mission for that administration is divide and conquer. And the more we understand unity and the power of it, then we can come together and overcome, you know, the stuff that he puts out there. We understand that this isn't faith-based that he's doing. If anything, it's hate-based. Everything that he puts out is hate-based.
So you think that within your community that – So you think, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but just want to make sure I'm following you, which I am. But so you think that within your community, and not just, and I want to say Latino and Latinx around across the diaspora. So you think that most oftentimes when they hit the American soil, that they just want to leave everything behind and they want to become like just drenched in being an American, that they will oftentimes choose that and their religion over their culture.
Exactly. Because
when it comes to like the political process.
Absolutely. There is no, it's unfortunate that, again, it's the lack of knowledge, unfortunately, it's the lack of intelligence sometimes. You know, you mm-hmm. come to this country and, you know, we have the power of education. And that's something my mm-hmm. parents always taught me. You know, make sure mm-hmm. that you take advantage of the education that you have here. Make sure that you go as far as possible when it comes to education, mm-hmm. because the power that you really have of knowledge that you hold, that is what's really going to take you far. So mm-hmm. unfortunately,
so sometimes
a lot
these
of times
are very,
they come
sometimes
here.
These are very highly educated people too, though, right? Because you see it within the media and the news. Sometimes even within, you see it within the Black community, because there's a lot of Black people that are now more conservative and Republicans as well. And a lot of times these are very mm-hmm. educated people.
And, you know, so let's put it this way. So mm-hmm. a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of Brown and Black communities come from disadvantages. So mm-hmm. when it comes to the people, whether you're Black, you're Brown, even white, whatever you may be, the people who have had disadvantages usually understand life a little different, because we've experienced mm-hmm. things and we've had to work that much harder to get ahead. So mm-hmm. our experience as Latinos, and I can say this for myself, who has a disadvantage, I lived in the hood as a kid. I lived in South Central LA and Compton, and I'm very proud of that. And as scary mm-hmm. as it was mm-hmm. growing up in those kinds of neighborhoods, I know that the more I have pushed myself to educate myself and the power that we hold as a people, then I understand the importance of exercising my rights to vote. So it's not like I show up to the polls and I just fill in any cute little bubble. I understand the power that this person mm. is going to be able to have in order to mm-hmm. help my community. But a lot of people kind of just go based on the whatever they hear on media. I will say my parents are heavily influenced by the media. Even though I work in media, I understand. If anything, mm-hmm. because I work in media, I understand.
You're like,
the power
I understand
behind that
like
as well.
This stuff is
I
right,
get it.
Right.
I get it. I get it. How mm-hmm. it's twisted. I get it. How it's portrayed. So that's why I think it's really important. So let's just say a lot of these people, yes, they're educated, but the experience that they have is probably lacks what really needs to happen mm. as a country as a whole, because there's far less people mm. who are educated. There's far less people who have the advantages. Even me going to college, I know for sure was an advantage. A lot of people don't get that opportunity. So
you're right.
To us, the people who have gone to college or who've educated themselves in whichever way they've educated themselves, but for us to pour that into the communities that do not have some people don't even want to be educated, and that's the sad part about it. Some people don't even want mm-hmm. to. I want to know how many privileged people have gone and spent one day in the hood, just one day. Just go one day and see, do you go and knock on some doors and talk to some people? No. Mm-hmm. I've never in my life mm-hmm. have seen somebody. I've never in my life have seen a politician in the neighborhood knocking on doors.
You're right.
Asking people, what can I do for you? What can I do for your community? And that's what we need more of. And it starts with us, with, you know, the people that have those disadvantages, for us to stand up and say, this person who makes $400,000 a year has no idea what I deal with making $40,000 a year. No idea. They have no idea what it's like to have to go to the grocery store and have to decide, do I get milk or do I get eggs? They have no idea what that's like. Ask them how much a cart of milk costs, and they have no idea. So, you know, when it comes to my community, to the Latino community, it is so important for us to understand the power that we have, again, as a people, and to hold politicians accountable for what they're doing for the Latino community. And that's it.
Right.
That's as simple as it gets for me. Don't go vote off of what you see on the media. Don't go vote off what even your spouse is telling you to vote for. Make your own decision and do your own research.
That's good, Lena. And so I have one more question I want to have you answer before we move on. So what do you think of the term model minority? Model minority, and we want to explain that for our listeners who may not know the term. And so from Wikipedia and from the dictionary, it says a model minority is a minority demographic, whether based on ethnicity, race, or religion, whose members are perceived to achieve a higher degree of socioeconomic success than the population average, thus serving as a reference group to outgroups. This success is typically measured relatively by educational attainment, representation, and managerial and professional occupations and household income, along with other socioeconomic indicators such as low criminality and high family marital stability. The concept is very controversial, as it has historically been used to suggest there is no need for government intervention and socioeconomic disparities between certain racial groups. This argument has most often been applied in America to contrast Asian Americans, both East and South Asian, against African and Hispanic or Latino Americans, and forcing the idea that Asian Americans are good, law-abiding, productive citizens and immigrants, while promoting the stereotypes that Hispanics or Latinos and African Americans are prone to crime and dependent on welfare. So what do you think of that term, model minority? And depending on who you ask, they could say, well, Lena, you and Sade are model minorities. Look at everything that y'all been through, and you've been able to rise above all the hard times. So why can't other people do it? Why can't they just pick themselves up by the bootstraps? What are your thoughts on that and on the term model minority?
Oh, man. So, no, you're absolutely right. I'm sure I've had people say, well, you decided to, you know, go to college. You decided to do this because you wanted better for yourself. True. True, and same for you, Sade. Like, you, I know me and you have worked really, really hard to get to where we are now, but this goes back to what I was just saying. Unfortunately, there are some people that don't want to be educated, that don't want to, you know, seek better for themselves, and that comes down to how they were raised. A lot of people don't have they don't have anyone that they can look up to. They don't have role models. They don't have anybody to push them. They don't have, they, you know, maybe they grew up in a household where mom and dad were working so much that they couldn't even dedicate time to helping, you know, them do their homework or, you know, or want to achieve more. So I think that it's really important that we help our minorities with, first and foremost, therapy. I am a huge advocate for therapy and helping our community to understand the importance of mental health, because it really, yes, our environment affects us. Absolutely it does. But it really comes down to our mental health and how strong we are to pull ourselves out of a dark place. Unfortunately, a lot of people are victims of themselves. You know, they're in a bad situation. They're, you know, maybe they've just been beat down by life. I think for me personally, like, let's say I was working in downtown LA where you see Skid Row and you just see, unfortunately, a lot of homeless people there. And I've always thought to myself, like, how sad is it that they've gotten to this point in their life? And I always wonder what gets them to that point in their life. And so, you know, unfortunately, sometimes it's drugs. Sometimes it's, you know, coming from an abusive home. Like, you really don't know what a person has gone through until you, like, sit down and have a conversation with them. And so I think first and foremost, in order to heal the community, we have to promote therapy and mental health first and foremost, and then we look at each other and say, how do we help each other come up? How do we help each other be successful? And unfortunately, you know, we have this mentality of crabs in a bucket. So you see somebody else rising and you want to pull them down. And that's something that I feel our communities need to get away from. We need to promote each other. We need to encourage each other. And constantly support each other. And the only way for us to be able to really get out of this minority mentality, because when you really look at the numbers, we are actually the majority. So in order for us to, you know, really, I guess in order for us to really be successful, we have to do it in numbers. So if I'm promoting going to college, then I want to make sure that I teach this to all minorities and tell them, hey, the importance of college, it's not so much the paper. It is the experience. Because when you're going and you're pushing yourself through college, you have to get up in the morning and get to that class. You have to do that homework or that assignment. You have to take those quizzes. You have to push yourself. So it starts from, I feel it starts from childhood, you know, us promoting education. And again, some people, you know, college isn't for everybody, so I get that. But, okay, what are the alternatives? Are you going to go to trade school? Are you going to learn a trade? Are you going to go to the military? A lot of these kids have, again, some of them don't have parents in the household because they're dead or they went to prison or they're just not there, whatever the case may be. So let's just say my neighbor, let's say she's a single mother. I'm a single mother too. Hey, what hours do you work? Okay, I work these hours. Do you want me to pick up your kid from school? Can I pick up your kid from school on this day? And then can you pick up my kid from this day? And it's a matter of, again, you see your brother, your sister, you know, struggling, you do what you can to help that person out.
Right.
And so
it sounds like saying a combination of what I'm saying, what we both agree with as well. I don't mean to interrupt you, but a combination
it needs to be
community support, well, personal responsibility, but even sometimes, like you said, that depending on how mentally far gone people are, if they've been on drugs or how much abuse they've and trauma they've gone through, sometimes they don't even have the ability to have to, you know, make personally responsible decisions. But obviously, hopefully, with it being a combination of personal responsibility, community support, and mentorship, and like you said, it is going to take also government assistance, because it can't not just be us doing it, like you said, one by one. And I think all of those things, and like you said, with the community support and mentorship, including with therapy and counseling and mental health support. And I think that's really important. And like you said, it shows that, someone could look at us as a model minority, but like you said, that's not really a good thing, because once again, you're still counting a few number of people. We're an anomaly. We're not like the everyday person that should be also experiencing that. And so I think that's powerful what you're saying. It takes a combination of all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that, you know, you understand the struggles that, you know, we have as a minority. There are absolutely disadvantages that we have that others don't. And whether you're a person of color or whether you're not, but do understand that there are people who are not as blessed as you. There are people who haven't had the advantages that you've had. And to want to help those people who haven't had those privileges or who are disadvantaged is really the blessing that we're able to give back to the blessing that we receive. So if anything, I just want everybody, I don't care if you're green, black, brown, white, I don't care. But just understand the importance that we have, that in order to create change, we must first be the change and then create the change around us.
That's so good, Lena. Thank you so much. I'm happy, too, that you've been able to share what's on your heart, because I know this has been burbling inside of you. And so it's great that we have this platform to share together where you can speak on these things that you're passionate about and that you do the work every single day, you know, not only in your own life, but in your community and for other communities as well. And so, Lena, please share
Thank
with us
you.
All about your upcoming ventures, projects, and what you have coming out.
Well, so right now we are in season 4, Studio Vibes. So Studio Vibes is basically my podcast where we highlight entertainment news, music, and all those sorts of things. But we also talk about, you know, our own personal lives on that specific podcast. We will be bringing back Ladies Lounge for the second season. And then I have my own personal projects that I've been working on. So Letters from Lena is another podcast of mine that I'm still working on. That's my baby, and it's something that is very, very personal. So Letters from Lena is something that I wanted to make public because these are actually recordings that I have for my daughter. So I figured at some point, you know, I will no longer be here, and I do want my daughter to always feel like I'm around her, and what better way than for her to hear my voice, right? So I've decided to record different episodes, and each episode is a life lesson that I've learned that I'm passing down to her. So I've been very cautious of, you know, putting that out just because the climate of this year has been pretty rough, and I do want something like that to be received with love. So that is something that I've been working on my own time. You know, just like everybody else, I think we're all kind of in this area where we're like, we don't know what's about to happen next. We don't know if the world's going to be on fire. Like, we really don't know what's going to happen. So I think for me, the best thing that I'm doing for myself is to continue to educate myself. I mean, on a daily, I sit here and I educate myself on digital marketing. I edit like crazy because unfortunately I struggle with technology. So I force myself to like sit and edit and, you know, figure out how these programs work. I just continue to use my voice to speak for the Latino community. So that's basically what I feel, you know, for the end of the year and even for next year, I'm just going to continue to focus on is my skills and being able to use my platform, just to reach a large audience and to be a to influence, you know, those around me in a positive way.
Yes, yes. Are there any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners, Lena?
Ooh, well, first off, thank you again for having me. It's always good energy between us, and we always have the best conversations.
Yes, we do.
I just want everybody to focus on their mental health. I think that that's very important. After the year that we've gone through, just to remember to prioritize your mental health and to always look at others with compassion. You can follow me on Instagram at @SheIsLenaRodriguez. I believe on Twitter, it's @SheIsLena_ and Lena Rodriguez. You can find all my contact info on Instagram as well. @SheIsLenaRodriguez. And you can email me if you'd like, lifeoflena333@gmail.com. And, yeah, that's about it. More to come, though. I'm working really hard on all my platforms, so I'll definitely be sharing more as, you know, time comes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much to my beloved sister and friend and one of my inspirations, Angelina Lena Rodriguez. She is phenomenal. I love you to pieces, girl. I'm so thankful we met many moons ago, and we have stayed in touch all these years. Keep up the great job with everything that you're doing. And like I said, you're such a great encouragement, inspiration to others. I'm always so proud of you and cheering you on and cheering your daughter and your family on and supporting everything that you do.
Thank you so much. Love you.
And thank you so much for tuning in to a brand new episode of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio and 57WLLE.net, the beat of the city in Raleigh, North Carolina.
I'm Sade Champagne. Welcome to my show.
I'm Sade Champagne,
where we dream and lift each other up.
I'm Sade Champagne.
Love is the answer. Grace is the way.
Sade Champagne.
We're anchored in hope.
The Sade Champagne Show.
And we keep the faith. Entertainment, education, inspiration.
Sade Champagne, Sade Champagne. Welcome to the Sade Champagne Show.
I'm Sade. Shady Champagne.